die, to be separated from me. This was not the plan, the desire that Adam and Eve should fall. And yet, given the choice and our will, we tend to choose our will and not his. And yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, no, I'm gonna redeem what was lost. Not my will, but your will be done. It's the new and second better Adam, right?
Yes.
That's what we're seeing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so you get to this point then where he's about to be arrested, you know, and Peter wants to stop his arrest, right? Mm. And of course, Peter says, you know, no, they need to take me. He cuts the man's ear off. Jesus actually heals his ear. Moments before this point, Jesus has a conversation with Peter saying, on this rock, I'll build my church. And like four verses later, he says, get behind me, Satan. I always find that very funny. Because he wants to stop the crucifixion and the arrest. And this is clearly after the Passover meal that we're having. But, you know, then at this point, you know, he's going to be taken up to Pontius Pilate. Jesus knew that he was going to have this grievous separation from his father, and he knew that this was to come. So maybe I should backtrack as though it was following the Passover meal. But, you know, as everyone was coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover meal, maybe you've been in a church before and they've had like communion. Have you ever experienced that, right? People listening, our communion, is actually rather unique because it's a reflection of the Passover meal. Mm. The Christian communion is to be a representation of the Passover meal that's had every year and clearly what Jesus had with his disciples. Do you recall what he said about the cup and the bread?
Well, I know that as Christians take communion and we taken the body of Jesus as the bread is the symbol of him giving his body,
yeah.
And the blood, the
this
new
is
covenant.
My body broken for you. Yes. This is my blood, yeah. My blood spilled out for you. Yeah. Eat this, drink this in remembrance of me. Right? Yeah. Have you ever had a Passover meal? I have not had a Passover meal with anybody until 3 years ago.
Yeah, I've had a number of them over my lifespan. My wife was very much raised in a Jewish neighborhood and became very familiar with the ways of the Jews. And so when she became a believer in Jesus, it wasn't an unusual thing for her to see all the ways the Jews do what they do and how it's a foreshadowing of our own Messiah, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, really. And Passover was a beautiful way that the Jews at the time were also, what, acknowledging a sacrifice, right?
They're acknowledging the pain, the tears, the suffering, and deliverance, right?
Yeah, deliverance. Like the symbol of our deliverance from sin was the Jews' deliverance from Egypt and the bondage of that hard time of being under a really oppressive rule, mm-hmm. and how Jesus came to deliver
us. That's why
you
dipped the vegetables in the salted water.
Yes.
And then you eat it and you remember the tears. But if you've been at a Jewish Seder, Jewish Passover, you got this long extended table, you got everyone wrapped around it. And I know it's so funny, you eat this kind of like very sparse meal, like there's nothing on the plate. And then they have the real meal afterwards, right? You know, it's a great party.
Right, it is.
But you'll notice that at your plate, there are four cups of wine. Or it's one cup of wine you lift up four times. There should be four. On the night that Jesus was betrayed and he had a Passover meal with his disciples, when he lifted up the cup and said, this is my body broken for you, and this is my blood poured out for you for the remissions of sin. During the Seder meal, you take little pauses where you drink from the wine cup, and there's four. Do you know which cup Jesus was probably picking up when he said, this is my body, this is my blood? He picked up the third cup. So they've already done one. And then they ate some vegetables, two, and then they ate something else. And then The third one is the last cup that you have that night with everybody. And do you know what the tradition and what you're not supposed to do? You're not supposed to drink from the fourth cup. Do you know why the Jews don't drink from the fourth cup?
No, I don't.
Based in the Talmud and other writings, but also from Scripture, the fourth cup is the cup of wine, the celebration cup, really, when you will be with the Lord, new heavens, new earth. Think about the great wedding day, Revelation 21. The fourth cup is when we're finally with God in heaven forever. So you don't drink from the fourth cup. The next time you drink from that, you'll be in Jerusalem. The Jews say in Jerusalem next year when the Messiah comes. But we know the Messiah has come. And one day in heaven, we'll be back together. And that fourth cup we'll have together in the heavenly wedding.
And that's kind of the celebration of Easter, where we recognize that Christ died, rose again, and we will be with him in glory one day. And so we're almost to Easter, it seems. We're at Good Friday. We're at the Passover. We're at the betrayal. We're at the culmination of everything happening here in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
You know, and it's such a critical holiday. You know, I can share with a lot of people, you know, I know what it's like to just do Christmas and Easter only. And we as believers might say, oh boy, here comes the visitors that show up. And at the same time, I'm like, man, I hope all churches everywhere really focus on getting people to really critically think, who is Jesus? Because it matters. And it changes everything. And I'm like, I hope every church takes advantage of this moment to proclaim the gospel, just as they should every Sunday. Because the reality is, every Sunday's Christmas. Every Sunday's Easter, right? Yeah. Every Sunday, we're celebrating the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's just we happen to put higher emphasis during parts of the year. And I think there's a good reason for that, you know? Just as there's four seasons in the year, we celebrate different aspects of the church calendar. But like, I look at Jesus, the Passover, he's lifting up this third cup. He's having it with his disciples. This is my body. This is my blood. Then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas, go do what you're about to do. Sells Jesus for the 20 pieces of silver. Peter tries to stop Jesus from being sacrificed. And yet he's brought before Pontius Pilate. And, you know, again, a critical question is what Pontius Pilate brings up. He says, what is truth? You know, we live in a world of truthiness. You know, people say, well, what's true for you is not true for me. What's true for me is not true for you. Well, unfortunately, that's not real, nor logical, nor reasonable, nor rational. You know, Christianity is a very reasonable faith. Though we do believe a dead man came back to life, every other part of Scripture is just as reasonable, because God must be all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent everywhere. This is Jesus. Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. I'll be in that chapter in just three more days, you know? But what a unique time that we have to really look at, is the Bible true?
Yeah, I'd like to think, too, that truth is not a set of facts. Truth became a person.
Yeah.
And for all of us as humans, right, we have these issues about being human, what it means to be fully human, fully alive. And Jesus really answered for us so many of our questions that we need to have answered about why am I here? What is life all about? And I think Easter is a great culmination of what life will eventually be about for us as believers.
Yeah. You know, not only is truth not just a set of facts, but a person, but, you know, the Scripture is not just the Word of God. The Word is also a person. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Christ, right?
So when you pose the question coming in about why Easter, how would you kind of wrap this up as we do that maybe how much longer do we have, folks,
about 12 minutes.
About how many?
12 minutes.
Oh, good, good. We have time to really get into this, to talk about that.
Well, there are.
Don't want to advance the journey. We were where we were with Jesus and
Passion Tide Sunday. We made it to Palm Sunday. We have them flipping the tables. We have them getting the disciples ready to prepare the Passover meal. He has a Seder dinner. He lifts up the third cup and tells, he washes the disciples' feet after the meal, which is unique. Normally in those times, you would wash your guests' feet before the meal when they walk in your house doors to kind of, dust and dirt and people wearing sandals. He washes his disciples' feet after the meal. And this is where we get the term Maundy Thursday. So before Good Friday is another high holy day, Maundy Thursday, M-A-U-N-D-Y. You know where that word comes from?
I don't. I did it one time.
We've all heard it. So if you read not from the Greek Bible, but if you read it from Latin, Jesus said to his disciples after he washed their feet, he says, "This is a new command that I give to you, right? As I have done for you, you go do for others. As I have served you, you go serve others," right? Because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He says, "This is a new command that I give to you."
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Vero Web Consulting specializes in creating custom websites, hosting, content marketing services, and more. Vero Web Consulting strives to provide the best quality services and solutions to meet your individual web development needs. Mary Lee Weir is a successful entrepreneur with over 20 years of knowledge and experience helping small businesses create an effective online presence. Visit VeroWebConsulting.com.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City reminds you that America has a covenant with God, established over 400 years ago at the founding of our great nation, to send the gospel into the world. Please pray for a robust revival in our nation, that we may honor this covenant in God's perfect time.